To order, please. Today is Wednesday, March 14th, 2018. The time is 8 a.m. And the defendants are myself, Stevens Chair, Senator Conkhill, and Senator Hughes. And I think Senator Begich will be with us shortly. But we have a quorum to conduct business. Today we're going to resume hearings, a hearing on Senate Bill 185 relating to teacher rehire program. SCR is... We'll come up after that, and that has to do with Education Sharing Day, Senator Hughes. So, beginning with Senate Bill 185, the intention today is to take up an amendment to the bill, to hear from the bill's sponsor, any relevant agencies or stakeholders that wish to speak to us, entertain additional questions and a discussion on the bill, and then forward it on to the next committee. Any questions or comments before we begin? Okay, thanks so much. So we have amendment number one to Senate Bill 185 before us. Senator Conkhill.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Chairman, I almost made you president. I move amendment number one to Senate Bill 185.
Thank you, and I'll object for discussion. Mr. Lamkin, would you explain the amendment, what it does?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Tim Lamkin, staff to Senator Stevens. Before you is an amendment that is intended to provide some level of accountability and transparency to this program, also perhaps some broader buy-in, and also meanwhile wanted to reduce or limit the amount of red tape, as the sponsor had indicated at a prior hearing. But meanwhile, too, wanted to place some sidebars and apply some rules to this program. In studying the program in the past, there was some potential perspective of possible misuse of the program, or rather to create unintended consequences in the form of disincentives for active recruitment efforts. So looking at the historical precedent of the prior program in 2005, found some language there that set that precedent, and that would be in the form of the local governing body, in this instance the school board, would adopt a policy consistent with this program to help identify circumstances that they would have these shortages. Under that policy, then the superintendents could go out and hire folks under this program, retirees, and rehire them, and then they would come back to the school board subsequently, report who they've hired under this program, name them, and then the school board could pass a resolution, whereas we've had this such and such vacancy. We presented evidence of actual recruitment efforts. The vacancy remains open. We have John Doe, a retiree that's available and interested. Therefore, be it resolved, we hire this person for these terms, for this position, this duration, and so forth. And then copies of that resolution be sent to the Division of Retirement, where it be kept on file. There be no requirement for a report or that anything of that nature, but it would be available. My understanding is on about a three-year rotation, there's an audit by retirement, and so they could refer to those documents. Meanwhile, two guys like me could go to the division and say, I'd like to look at that file and see what the districts have been, how much participation there's been in that program. So, Mr. Chairman, in conclusion, that is essentially an effort to allow for some transparency and accountability for the program.
Thank you, Tim. Our concern all along of the committee has been adding additional unnecessary work to the districts or to the commissioner's office. Could you just tell us what this actually entails in terms of additional effort?
To clarify, Mr. Chairman, effort on part of the department?
On part of the district and on part of the department.
Well, if indeed there was a past precedent by these school boards and the districts, they may already have such a policy on the books or archived that they could potentially dust off. But again, it shouldn't be too awful onerous for them to draft perhaps even on one piece of paper this type of policy to identify and delineate the circumstances that they have these shortages. And then, of course, it's just simply to keep on file who it is exactly that they are hiring under the program.
Thank you, Tim. And a copy would be sent to the commissioner's office, is that right? So no requirement of a report, no requirement of a lot of extra effort on the part of the department, just to have a file of.
That's correct. And to clarify, it would be sent to the administrator of the TERS program, which would be specifically Division of Retirement Benefits in the Department of Administration, not necessarily the commissioner's office.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, Tim. Further questions? Any questions from me? Thank you very much, Tim. Senator Machicki, you? Senator Machicki, do you have any comments you care to make at this point, or talk about the bill later? Okay. And Norm Wooten had some comments he wanted to make. Norm, if you'd come forward. Thank you, Mr. Wooten, for being here, as always.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Norm Wooten. I'm the Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. I've already testified in support of this bill previously, so I won't even address that. I'll just briefly address the amendment and tell you what steps we'll take. 50 of the 53 school districts in Alaska use AASB's model policy, and we provide updates each year on new legislation, both state and federal legislation, so that districts can update their policy and keep an up-to-date board policy and all the way. We will work with our attorney to make sure that we have a policy in place, and then it'll be provided to all of the 50 school districts that subscribe to our services. And so that's not particularly onerous. We'll just do that as part of our end of session protocol for developing policy to match new legislation that has come forth. I don't think this is particularly onerous to school boards. Once it's in place, it'll just be an automatic thing, and so we're not opposed to this amendment. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Wood. Any questions? Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We also have Dina Bishop on. Mr. Schreiber, I don't know if you're here to speak about the bill itself or the amendment. Are you with us, Superintendent Bishop? And we also have Kathy Lee on for questions.
Yes, Bishop.
Yes, Superintendent, we hear you. Please go ahead. Do you have any comments on the amendment or on the bill itself?
On the bill itself, I just want to say that Anchorage School District does support Senate Bill 185, and just in brief, really a thank you that the committee is considering it, that a bill such as this to allow for flexibility in a time of constrained resources. Now is the time of any to find new and improved and innovative ways to support districts. I just wanted to share that I read the prior testimony, and if in a school district this was five teachers in prior testimony, you know, it doesn't seem like too much work, but if you think about the processes just for ASD, we're hiring every month around the year. We have over 3,000 teachers. We have teachers that leave us mid-year because of military. And so in our, just to give a picture, when we put something forward at the board level, it takes two readings, a first reading and a second reading. So we're looking at over a month to have, you know, some of these provisions to move forward. So I know that the interest is in having accurate records, and my understanding is that the record is just teachers in Alaska who have retired through the TERS system, or is it to request any teacher that's hired any retired teacher from out of state or anywhere who comes in to be recorded as well and notified? I'm just not sure of the details, but certainly the provision to allow us to be flexible in getting the best teachers we can in classrooms, especially when we can't hire new hires, is wonderful. But honestly, placing another report in the hands of the school districts that are reducing their staffs yearly due to budget constraints, it's difficult. But I would take the ability to do this over, you know, having to do one more report. But I'm not sure if just reporting to Deed and then Deed report back up, I'm not sure why it's a school board that would need to go through that whole official process, because the school district itself sends reports to Deed quite a bit, whether it's on certification and things like that. We do that directly. So adding in the administrative process and then turning it to the political process at the board level, turning it back to, you know, two different divisions at the state level, seems it does seem to me to be more work than that's probably necessary for the outcome you want. You just want to know, who is it in these school districts that we're rehiring? And could it be done a better way than having a resolution at the board level?
Thank you, Superintendent. Actually, I asked Tim to come back up and maybe you can answer some of that. It's not meant to be onerous at all. It should be a simple process. And if I'm correct, I think it's only on Alaska retired teachers, not out-of-state retired teachers. You can do that at any time. Mr. Lampkin, could you comment on these issues?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens. To clarify, this amendment is set out to have the board, local board, first set a policy, the policy that's consistent with this program. Secondly, superintendents then have the freedom to go out and hire retirees, Alaskan or non-resident, as they see fit and appropriate. And then after they hire those folks, or in conjunction with, either or, they come back to the board and say, we have hired these people under this program, and these are the people, and this is what position they intend to fill, and it's that simple. And that resolution is then a copy of that resolution is then sent to the division or the Department of Administration, not DEED, the Division of Retirement, and kept on file. And that's it.
Thank you, Tim. Senator Hughes.
So Superintendent Bishop had seemed to think maybe there'd be something that with their monthly hiring, they would be going monthly to the school board. We're talking about setting the policy one time and would carry over year to year, so that's one process. And then the superintendent reporting the new contracts with rehired retirees, is that to occur once a year or every time they set up a contract with a rehired retiree?
So, Chair, Senator Hughes, it's not intended to be limiting in any way. That would be according to the circumstances of the respective district. Whether they have a need from 1 month to the next or once a year, those circumstances change, I'm sure, by district to district. So it wouldn't limit them to do it any particular way.
Follow up. So as follow-up, taking Anchorage School District as an example, who might be hiring on even monthly, would they have the option just to report it once a year to the school board? And then after your answer, if we could hear back from the superintendent just to get her response, it'd be helpful.
Sure.
Through the Chair, Senator Hughes. Again, I don't think we're talking about, I could be wrong, but all the testimony I've heard is that we're not talking about hiring hundreds and hundreds of retirees every month over a course of an entire school year. I think, as Superintendent Miller testified, 4, 5, 6 people. And typically, I'm sure it varies, but I assume typically that would be in the, say, April to August time frame. But again, I'm sure that varies district to district.
I'm still needing a clarification, Tim, and maybe I'm just not awake yet. If a school district does 4 or 5 through the course of the year, do they have to go to the school board at the time or within a certain number of days of each of those hirees, or could they do it one time a year cumulatively for all those rehired retirees?
Through the Chair, Senator Hughes, thank you for clarifying your question. And I guess it would be up to the district. Theoretically or ideally, it would be as they come through the system. Whereas, again, we have this policy. Here's a resolution. In March, we've hired John Doe. We are reporting that we've hired John Doe in the month of March for this position for these terms and this duration, and then say come May another vacancies come open and they've had to hire another person, they could at that time then report again in May. Whether or not they do that annually, I think the amendment is silent on that question, but the spirit of the amendment would be that they report as they go.
Could we hear from the superintendent?
Yes, certainly. And if you are you willing to wait, or you have a?
I think I might have a clarifying.
Okay, we'll go to Senator Begich first, then go back to Superintendent Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, if I understood correctly, what Mr. Wooten was saying, and your interpretation too, he's talking about potentially developing a policy that would make this a fairly rote process. So that might include the considerations that have been brought up here, that for larger districts or numerous people, there might be part of the policy norm would develop would say a single resolution, and that you're saying it's silent on that. Am I correct? It's silent on what the method would be. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, correct.
And then the follow-up here would be, if that's okay, Mr. Chairman, sure. What Mr. Wooten said, and if maybe Norm could come up and clarify what he was talking about in terms of policy, I think what he was saying is he would just set a policy that he would send a model policy out to the 50 districts that ascribe to those policies, and it could very well address this issue and make it fairly rote process. Does that seem correct?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, that's a fair clarification, I would say. Yeah.
And I think that's the intention. And just to clarify, too, this does not include out of state teachers who are retired and rehired. It is just in state. Is that correct,
Mr. Chairman? It should not, because my understanding, at least, is that those districts currently already have the means to hire retirees from out of state. But there's nothing that says that this policy could not include them in some way if districts chose to.
Well, I think we're concerned about the Alaska system. So let's go to Superintendent Bishop, and then we'll ask Norm Wooten to come back up again. And so, Superintendent Bishop, if you're still with us, does that clarify any of these issues for you?
What? I appreciate the probing and the questions because it does make sense now. I mean, I want the committee to know that our board does approve our hires regularly as we move through the year, but the reporting system to DEED is not done monthly. So understanding that a separate resolution wouldn't need to be done, because again, Superintendent Miller mentioned, he maybe would look at hiring five people this way. With his population, Anchorage is 10 times that amount, and throughout the year of 9 months, 50 different people, with only two board meetings a month and having a first reading, second reading, it did tend to look a little bit difficult to do, but understanding that the provision could be designed for efficiencies, how the district already works in that type of reporting, does make a lot of sense, and thank you for that flexibility to create the flexibility as well as the efficiency needed to get folks into our classrooms. Thank you.
Thank you, Superintendent Bishop. So just so you would help me to understand, how many in-state retired teachers do you hire a year? Did you say 50? Is that true?
No, I was our in-state retirees, we have quite a few 0.49s, and they're specifically for hard-to-fill positions, so they're generally not generalist in our general teachers. I would say that they're primarily special education teachers that we're hiring at a 0.49 that are in-state retirees right now just to fill gaps. We would prefer to hire long-term employees, full-time employees, so we can get those filled. But certainly I can get you the number. I was just referring to, there was a question in the testimony on the 12th in regard to how many, it was a question to Mark Miller, Superintendent Juno, how many people do you expect to hire off of this type of provision? And he said 4 to 5.
Right.
And so if that was the case, and we just liken that number across the state, districts of different sizes and even perhaps locations might have differences in the ability to fill positions. But again, Anchorage is just looking at this not to replace the hiring of new employees. It would simply be to be able to hire highly qualified teachers with a track record of success in Alaska until that we could find that teacher, hopefully from one of our own universities, that can serve Alaska's children.
Thank you very much. Any questions of Superintendent Bishop? Thank you. And if there is additional information you provide us, that should be helpful. No rush on that, but we would pass that along to the next committee as well.
Absolutely. I'll get you, Senator. Sorry for speaking one more time. I will provide the 0.49 positions to the committee, as well as the subjects and certifications for which those 0.49 people hold.
Great. Thank you, Superintendent. Mr. Wood, if you have a response, and Mrs. Parity has a comment as well. Norm Wooten. What was the question we were asking, Mr. Wooten?
If I may, Mr.
Yes, please.
Mr. Chairman. Norm, what I was asking was, when you talked about you would develop, you work within to develop a model policy because you do that for the 50 districts that are in there, you would take into account these the questions that Superintendent Bishop has described, correct?
Yes. Mr. Chair, Norm Wooten for the record. Once again, with the Association of Alaska School Boards, through the chair, Senator Begich, what the process is that we engage our attorney, and we want a policy based on this on this bill, and then our attorney works with both Ledge Legal and the Attorney General's office to develop a policy that meets the intent and the spirit of the law. Okay, and then we provide that to those districts, those 50 districts that subscribe to our policy service. And so the our attorney always works to give the school districts the greatest latitude possible under the law. Okay, we want to be compliant with the law, and that's the purpose of policy, board policy, to ensure that we are compliant. So does that answer your question, Senator?
Yeah, just brief follow-up. And really, the goal is of your organization is to not to make it onerous for school districts, but to ensure flexibility for school districts, correct?
Yes, through the chair, Senator Begich, that is correct.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. Wooten.
Sure.
Dr. Paradis.
Okay.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Lisa Skiles Parody, Executive Director of the Alaska Council of School Administrators. Thank you for the opportunity to give some feedback with regard to this amendment, and I appreciate Mr. Lampkin calling me because I think he adjusted the amendment pursuant to our conversation last night, and so I greatly appreciate that. The piece I'd like to I need one point of clarification and a general statement. Of course, we are very reticent to ever support additional paperwork for school districts. Just need to say that. And so agree completely with Dr. Bishop that less is more in terms of efficiency for school districts. But as I understand this, and I know my colleague Norm Wooten with AASB, we generally confer on a model policy like this that will impact our districts. We would also be supporting that to districts. So as I understand it, we would do one for the hiring season, one overall umbrella model policy for the hiring season that would cover any potential retired employees, and then we could do one report, if you will, at the end of the year. And as I understood from Senator Hughes' clarifying questions, our responsibility on the part of districts would be one policy saying these are the circumstances under which we will hire retired individuals, and then one report to the Department of Administration following that year. Is that accurate?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't think that's accurate. I think all that's being asked is that the resolutions be sent to the – it's not a report. They're just being sent to be kept on file at the Department of Administration. Isn't that what I'm seeing?
I think the intention was not that there not be a report, that it'd be simpler than that. Tim, can you come up and maybe clarify that a little bit?
Okay. I have one more question.
Okay.
For the record, Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens. Again, the spirit of the resolution is accountability and transparency. When there are folks that are hired under this program, we just ask that they that there be a local participation, a local governing board awareness, and it be accounted for and it be reported in the form of a resolution. Whereas we've needed to fill this vacancy, and therefore we have filled it under the board policy. Whether that is on a case-by-case basis or an annual report, I would venture to say is flexible, as long as it is quote, reported in the form of a resolution and a copy of that resolution sent to the Division of Retirement.
Okay, thank you. Senator Hughes has it, and then we'll get to you.
If you look at line 12 of the resolution for B, it does require a report be submitted. So I think what I'm hearing is that the policy, the resolution for the policy, those be on file, and those can that policy can be the same from year to year. So the first year you put that in, and if the school board ever changes it, they'd update that and get it back on file. Otherwise, they just leave it there on file. And then once a year that they could report if they – or they could do it monthly or as they hire, but they also would have the option to do it once a year to report with all the retired members that they've hired. So that's what I understand. So is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, yes.
Thank you, Mrs. Faraday, and we'll get to you, Senator. Mrs. Faraday, yes.
Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Senator Hughes, for the clarification. The second question I have, and again for clarification, is with regard to line 18, which says requirements of section before rehiring the retired member. And I am hopeful that, as you heard from Dr. Bishop, and I know many school districts have different schedules of board meetings, that if we put the model policy forward, the board passes it, and then they're engaged in hiring retired individuals, that section or line 18 where it says before rehiring the retired member, that I want to make sure that they're not required to have a report in place before hiring that retired member, which is part of what Mr. Lampkin and I discussed last night, is shifting that timing so that the hiring of a retired member would not be delayed as a result of needing to file a report to the Department of Administration. So I want us to be all really clear that the districts can go forward in the hiring process as necessary, so that it wouldn't have to be before hiring that individual that the report would be due.
Thank you, and Mr. Lampkin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tim Lampkin. If you look carefully at the amendment, when it refers to on line 18 there, when it refers to this section, it's referring to this section 1 of the entire bill, that the hiring, before they can hire, it has to be legal under this program. It's not referring to that they before they can hire under the school board's policy. So it's referring to the overall law. Before they can rehire a retiree, it has to be legal under the entire bill. Section 1 of the bill is what this is referring to.
Back on the bill.
Thank you. Senator Begich, did you have a question?
I did. Can we take a brief, Eddie's?
Yes, brief, Eddie. I'll remove my objection to the amendment in front of us and look for a motion to amend the amendment. Senator Baggage?
I'd like to move that we amend the amendment to strike the words on line 18 after the word section, strike before rehiring the retired member.
Thank you, Senator. Is there any objection to that? So we have before us then amendment number 1 as amended, and any further discussion on amendment number 1? Is there any objection? If not, amendment number 1 has been accepted, and we'll go on to any further discussion on the bill itself. Senator Hughes.
Yes, and I don't know if the superintendent is online, but I want to bring a few points up for districts to consider, and just so we know and we get on the record a few things, so there won't be confusion. These were things brought up by the Mat-Su School District, and there are three items. And the first has to do with sick leave. There is a cost to the districts when they have to offer sick leave, and they are also bringing on these rehired retirees offering vacation and personal days. My question, and I'm not sure who the best one is to answer it, Mr. Chair, is I believe that a teacher who has not passed the retirement point, at the end of their term, their sick leave, they either cash it out or it can be perhaps rolled in somehow into the TERS program. So in the bill, it talks about the district's contributing the 12.56% to the TERS system. And so what I want to understand, is that the district's only obligation for the retired retirees, or are they also going to have to be rolling in sick leave, for example? I just want the districts to understand their obligation, because the bill only addresses the 12.56% contribution. So is there someone who can
answer
that question?
Thank you, Senator. We'll try to get the answer to that. It's my understanding that sick leave would not be accrued by a retired, rehired teacher, but we'll get the answer to that. The other questions included what? So we'll get them all on the table.
The other question is, Matsu was concerned, the bill talks about the, again, the 12.56% contribution by the district to TERS for those that are being hired beyond the 49% part-time basis. And just want to make clear and on the record that there would never be anything misconstrued that teachers that are hired at the 49% or less rate, that the districts would not have to contribute that 12.56%. The bill doesn't really address it one way or the other. It just addresses that under this program, they would have to make the contribution. So there's concern, and the superintendent mentioned they have a number that are at that 49% in special non-general type positions that are hard to fill. So I just want to make sure we're not adding another cost to the districts and get that on the record.
Okay, thank you. And any other issues that need, one of that I would add to that is issue of tenure, just to make sure that tenure does not continue to accrue.
Yes, and follow up. Mm-hmm. And yes, that was the third, was tenure, because a retired teacher coming back at the end of their career, of course, they're going to be pretty high on that scale of tenure, and then you're going to have new teachers coming into the district. And we know that we want to be supportive to those new teachers so they stick around. So my concern is that the new teachers wouldn't be bumped out of a school where maybe they'd like to be because the rehired retiree has tenure and would get first dibs at where he or she would like to be. So I just want to understand if tenure would play into that. The recommendation of the Matsu School District is that tenure not be considered and that rehired retiree be placed in a particular spot that they're having trouble filling rather than hiring that retiree and then letting them choose where they want to teach and then bumping the newer teachers to a school where they might not want to teach, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Senator Hughes, all three very good questions. Sick leave, 49% contribution, and then the tenure issue. And I'm sorry, I can't help but think that I gave up a tenured position for the Senate. I wonder what I was thinking. Mr. Lampkin, do you have any comments on these three issues?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens. I can speak directly to the tenure question. If you refer to 14-20-165, it already terminates tenure when teachers leave the system and come back. They don't bring their tenure back into the system with them. So that should not be an issue under this program. As regards the 49% and the sick leave, I can answer that, but I think we should hear instead from Ms. Kathy Lee, who should be online to address those types of questions, if you'd care to take them up right now.
Thank you. And then also the sick leave issue, I guess Ms. Lee would have answers to that. Good. Okay, thank you very much. We have Kathy Lee on with us. Ms. Lee, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
So thank you. Yeah, I guess you heard the two questions on sick leave and on district contribution for 49% employees. Can you respond to those two issues?
I can, sir. Regarding the sick leave issue, since the member is not contributing to their own increase in benefits for this rehired period, any sick leave that they would accrue cannot be claimed to increase their retirement benefit that they're already receiving. So there would be no effect on benefits if the district either allowed or didn't allow unused sick leave to accrue. And regarding the 49% contract, this goes back to the definition of what is a part-time and full-time teacher in the TERS. And that definition is membership in the TERS is dependent on work of at least 50% of the regularly scheduled work week. So a 49% contract issued to a teacher is below the requirement, and these people are not eligible for TERS. So no employer contribution would be required.
Thank you, Ms. Lee. And on the issue of tenure that we heard, probably outside your responsibility, is that right?
That's correct, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yes, we have a question from Senator Hughes.
And that is very, I really appreciate that clarification because we need to get that on the record so that won't be misconstrued and we don't have to, and I'm sure the bill sponsor is happy we don't have to adjust the bill to cover those issues. I do have a question, though, just so, and districts may already know the answer to this, but is there anything, and maybe this is more based on union contract negotiations, but could a district choose if they brought a retired rehiree on to not give them sick leave but just give them vacation and personal days, or are they bound to offer sick days to the retired rehiree?
Ms. Lee, can you respond to that?
No, sir. I'm afraid I can't. That's outside my purview.
Okay. Thank you. Can anybody clarify that? Senator Michicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Hughes, through the chair, this bill does not affect negotiations of the district. If they choose to negotiate sick leave into that contract, they'll negotiate sick leave. This bill simply allows retired teachers to be rehired.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. So we have before us the main motion. Any further discussion on that, on the motion before us? Is there any additional public testimony? Anyone might clarify what we've been doing here and what the intention is? So then I'll close the public hearing. And we have before you this bill, which has an independent fiscal note and a new fiscal note is scheduled before us next week. Is that right? Mr. Kleinman, thank you. So, Senator Michicki, any comments you would care to make? Any closing comments, Senator Michicki?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really don't have any. I appreciate your willingness to work with us on the amendment and for hearing the bill. Unless you have any questions for me, I don't have any comments.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate the bill before us. What is the will of the committee?
Chairman, I move that we move Senate Bill 185 as amended. It's the A version from committee with individual recommendations and the indeterminate fiscal note attached.
Thank you. Any objections to that motion? If not, the bill moves from committee. And we'll take a brief at ease to sign the bill. Send education committee come back to order. Next we have a SCR 15 relating to education and sharing day. Senator Hughes, any comments you'd like to make about the resolution?
I just want to thank the committee for hearing the bill, and March 27th is the day, so I appreciate moving it forward, and I look forward to the fact that communities, schools, places of worship, and families will be having discussions, hopefully as a result of this resolution, and it might help some of our young people as they make life choices, and that's what it's all about, that they, as part of their education, they become engaged and responsible citizens. So I appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. Going on to discussion or questions, we have Rabbi Mindy Greenberg online for any questions. I think we had a chance to talk to him last time, and I appreciate his sharing with us. If there's no questions of the rabbi, then any additional public comments at this point? So again, we'll close public hearing, and the bill currently has a zero fiscal note from LAA. Senator Hughes, any closing comments?
Just again, thank you.
Thank you. What's the will of the committee? Senator Cahill.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we move the Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 15, Version U, from committee with individual recommendations, and I think there's a zero fiscal note.
There is, yes. Thank you, Senator Cargill. Is there any objection? If not, we'll move the bill from the committee. Take a brief at ease. At 8:49.